Cześć! Słuchasz podcastu Kościoła Echo. Więcej informacji o tym, kim jesteśmy, znajdziesz na stronie echokościół.pl. Mamy nadzieję, że zostaniesz zainspirowany.
Hello everybody, welcome to church. I'm so glad that I have the privilege of bringing God's word to you guys this Sunday, obviously leading into Easter. What a very special time it is for Christians all over the world. Can I just send our greetings on behalf of Melbourne? We love you. We are so proud of you. We are so excited about everything that is happening in your space and your world. And if you are new to Echo, we cannot wait to meet you when we finally get there at some stage. But I'm going to be bringing God's word to you today, and I know you're going to be encouraged. You may learn some things that you may not have known before, or maybe I will just encourage you and strengthen you in the things you already do know. But why don't you just bow your head and let's study God's word together. Father, I thank you for everyone that is watching. Lord God, I love these people and I want you to bless them, I pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Well, guys, I'm so honored to bring you the word today. And today I want to preach a message. And the title of my message is simply this: Easter reminds us of two truths about God's grace and truth. And I want to talk to you today about the grace and truth of God. You know, let me start off by saying we have two epidemics going on around the world right now. We have people who are completely guilt-ridden about everything in life. What do I mean? You know, we have people who are guilty about the foods that they are eating. You know, you hop on Instagram, you get on any type of social media, and everyone's got some diet to spruik to you, or they want to tell us, you know, that we're not sleeping enough. People are guilty about how they are raising their children. People are guilty about their own health. They're not running enough or they're not exercising. People are just feeling guilty about so many things in life. Some people are feeling guilty that they're not millionaires by the time that they're 30. Some people are feeling guilty just that they're not spending enough time with their parents. So many things to feel guilty about. And basically, a lot of people around the world right now, and maybe there's some people watching right now and you feel this way, you basically feel like you're always failing, that you're just not quite good enough. And social media does that to us. Some of our friends may be doing that to us, or maybe you're simply doing that to yourself. And the second epidemic going on around the world is a sense of hopelessness, where you basically feel like nothing is going to ever change. You're not going to change. Your partner's not going to change. Your work situation is not going to change. And that the situation that you're finding yourself in right now that is causing you pain is just never going to change. And they're the two things that are going on in this world right now. People are filled with guilt and people are filled with hopelessness. And I want to speak about the cure to both of those issues in a moment. Because, you know, in the Gospel of John, the writer, John, he tells us something about Jesus very early in his Gospel. And I'm sure that you've been watching a film sometimes and you've missed the first 5 minutes of a film, or maybe the first 10 minutes of a film. And then forever, as you keep watching the 2 hour long film, you're forever wondering, I don't quite understand who that person is. I don't quite understand who that person is. What's the significance of that briefcase? What's the significance of that piece of paper? And it doesn't quite make sense to you because you missed the first 5 or 10 minutes. Has that ever happened to you? And you're constantly being the annoying person in the room that keeps saying to people, I don't understand what that means or why they did that. And it's because you missed the first 5 minutes. Well, you know, in John's gospel, if you missed the first 5 minutes of what John had to say, you could misunderstand what Jesus was trying to bring. Let me tell you what I mean. In John chapter 1, verse 14, so only 14 verses in, John tells us why Jesus came and what he came to bring. And if you don't read these few verses, you don't quite know why Jesus did and said what he did. And this is what you find. It says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. Okay, glory means his beauty. The thing that stands out the most. The thing that is most significant about Jesus. And here it is, he tells us. It says, the glory of the one and only Son. We've seen it. It says, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That is the description of Jesus only 14 verses into the Gospel of John. And he's reminding us that this is the glory of Jesus. This is the thing that makes him so special, was that he, Jesus, was full of grace and truth. And you know, when we come into Christmas time, we remember Jesus' birth. We remember how God came into the world. At Easter, we remember the work of Jesus and his outworking. What was he trying to achieve? And we see that in Easter. And what do we see? We see the fullness of God's grace. Now, this is where you need to sit back and really listen, because this is going to be the most encouraging thing that you've probably heard all year from me. Okay, I'm sure you've heard other great, fantastic things. But watch this. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John makes a statement that really is mind-blowing, and you're going to see why. He says, the next day, John, now that is John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him, and behold, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What a powerful statement. And you're thinking, oh, I've heard that many, many times. Many churches quote that verse, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Do you know, there are three things that are really wrong in that verse to a Jewish person. So when a Jewish person was hearing John the Baptist make that statement, they would have said, what? That does not make sense. Let me explain why. John the Baptist said, behold, he was pointing at Jesus. He says, behold the Lamb of God. Now, they would have all known what he means by that. In the Old Testament, if you sinned, you had to take a lamb and go and sacrifice it on behalf of your sin. So question number one, why does God need a lamb? Has God done something wrong? Has God sinned? Why does God need a lamb? Okay, that's the first question. This next question is, human sacrifices were prohibited in the Old Testament. Why was John the Baptist pointing at Jesus saying, this is God's lamb that is going to be sacrificed? You weren't allowed to have any human sacrifices. So why is he doing that? And the third one, which is the mind-blowing one, is that he actually says that this lamb, Jesus, is going to take away the sins of the world. Now, you're probably thinking, yeah, of course. No, to a Jewish person, they've never heard that before, because they always believed that when you sacrifice the lamb, its blood would only cover your sin, like sweeping it under a carpet. And we see this in Psalm 32. It says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is covered. Now, I don't know what it says in the Polish version, whether it says exactly the same thing, but in most English translations, that's exactly the word, covered. So in the Old Testament, your sins were only covered. If you've done something wrong, something evil, you know, God would make a sacrifice for you, but it was always covered. It was there, but not there. But here, the Apostle John has written down that Jesus came to do something very different. And we actually see him in his letters at the end of the Bible, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, it says, and you know that he, that's Jesus, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Wow, that is mind-blowing, friends. Now, this is what I need you to realize this Easter. This is, as you come into Easter, this is what I need you to realize. The Bible says that Jesus came with grace and with truth. We're just talking about grace at the moment. Friend, do you realize that Jesus, what he did on the cross on Good Friday, when he had nails in his hands and a crown of thorns on his head. What was he doing? Let me tell you what he was doing. He was taking away your sin. Everything you've ever done wrong, things that make you feel full of guilt. Remember, I was talking about how there's an epidemic around the world where people are guilty about everything. Jesus has come to take away your guilt. And sometimes you might think, but maybe he's forgiven me, but it's still hidden somewhere and one day it's going to be exposed. No, the Bible says that Jesus has taken away your sin. God does not remember your sin anymore. Why? Because Jesus, when he had the crown of thorns on his head, he was taking away every thought that you've ever had that were wrong. Jesus paid the price for it. Everything that your hands have done that are wrong, Jesus had nails put in his hands for it. Everything that your heart has ever desired that you shouldn't have desired, Jesus had a spear put into his side to take away that desire. Friends, where have your feet taken you? Where have they taken you? Jesus had nails in his feet to pay. Are you getting what I'm saying today? Jesus has taken away your sin, friends. And I cannot think of anything better to tell you coming into Easter that everything that the devil says, God is so disappointed in you because you did this or you did that. The devil brings those accusations. But God says to you today, this Easter, we are supposed to remember our sins are gone. Now, come on, someone needs to be saying amen, watching. Come on, you ought to be clapping right now. The devil has no hold on you, friend. Jesus has paid the price. Now, some of you might not be aware, but in the Old Testament, they used to have church. And in the tabernacle, it was called the tabernacle, there used to be different pieces of furniture. There was a candlestand. There was a table where they used to put the bread. There was the altar of incense. But there was one piece of furniture that was not in the tabernacle. Just one that wasn't there. And it's a very significant piece of furniture, and that is a chair. There was no chair in the tabernacle. Why? Because the priest would have to continually sacrifice sheep and lambs for the sake of the people. And his job was never done. So as soon as he would sacrifice a lamb and he would think, oh, I can take a seat now, somebody else would come with another lamb. And so a priest's job was never, ever done. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 11 to 12, it says, under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. That's what used to happen in the Old Testament. But verse 12 kicks in and it says, but our high priest, that's Jesus, offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, which was good for all time. And then have a look at this. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Why was Jesus able to sit down and those other priests couldn't? Because Jesus' sacrifice was all that was needed. He never needed to make another sacrifice again. Friends, this Easter, you need to realize your sins have been taken away if you have asked Jesus to be the Savior and the Lord of your life. This is what he has done for you. Friends, this is why when Jesus came with grace and truth, it's his glory. It's the thing that we love the most about him. Friends, I've got some exciting news for you. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, he says this. He says, friends, God saved you by his grace when you believed. Now, come on, I just need you to slow that right down. You know, God is going to take you home to heaven one day by his grace, not because of how you behaved, but because of what you believed. That's what the Bible says. It says you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Friends, this is so humbling, but no one is going to be in heaven because of how good they are. We are all going to be in heaven one day because of how good Jesus is. And we are all going to be standing around one day saying, you know what, I did some good things with my life, and you did some good things, and you did some bad things, and I did some bad things. But none of us are here because of any of those things. We are all here because of Jesus' grace and what he did on the cross for us. Now listen, there's a lot of churches out there. There's a lot of preachers out there. There's a lot of people who believe a lot of weird things about what gets you into heaven and what excludes you from heaven. But friends, let me make it very clear this Easter. Maybe you've come from a religious background where you think you've got to do all these different things to be good enough for God. Friends, let me be very clear with you. The Bible says, for by grace we have been saved through faith. It is a gift from God. Friends, this Easter, why don't you celebrate the gift? And don't let the devil play tricks with you anymore. You're not going to go to heaven because you didn't do this and you didn't go there and you didn't go to church and you didn't give enough money. You didn't talk to people about God. You didn't love your family. And the devil will throw everything at us, but we need to say, no, 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 no. I am saved by God's grace through faith. And if you know what I'm talking about, come on, you need to be giving Jesus a huge round of applause. Come on. This is the truth about Easter. He has come to cure the guilt that we feel. And every one of us have that. Every one of us can be challenged about whether we are good enough or not, friends. You know what? What you see at Easter is you see Good Friday and then you see Easter Sunday. Friends, I'm going to explain to you that Good Friday is where we experience God's grace. That's where Jesus has paid the price for us. But friends, then comes Sunday, and that's when we start talking about truth. Now, you need to remember, the Apostle John said that Jesus came with grace and truth. Now, listen, not grace or truth, okay? It's grace and truth working together. Good Friday is what takes away our sin. So then what does Easter do? What does Easter Sunday do for us? It brings us the truth. What truth? The truth is this: God loves us where we are, but he loves us enough to not leave us there. He's trying to take us on the journey. Yes, God loves you with all of your addictions right now, but he doesn't want to leave you with your addictions. Easter Sunday is the truth that we have victory and power in Jesus. And yes, we are forgiven, but we don't stay in that place. God wants to take us on a journey of overcoming, of having victory in our lives. And yes, the enemy wants to challenge us about our past, but God wants to challenge us about our future. And because God found you here, it's not where he wants to leave you. And that's what it means to be a grace and truth Christians. You know, my experience is that there are churches around the world, and some of them are grace churches and some of them are truth churches. What do I mean? In some churches, it's all about how God loves you and doesn't matter what you've done, and that's true. But then they leave people there and people feel comfortable to just stay there and never, ever experience victory in their life. Then there's other churches where it's all about, you have the power. God wants to be victorious through you. You can overcome anything and you can be positive. And that's a good message too. Except that without grace, that message can become very legalistic. And that message can actually judge you. And again, you don't feel like you're good enough. Friends, which church do you want to be a part of? Do you want to be a part of the church where it's all about love and grace? Or do you want to be a part of a church where it's all about the power of God and the victory of God? Some of you are confused. Well, you shouldn't be, because we should be in churches that do grace and truth. There should always be the love and forgiveness of God, but there should always be the power and victory. We find you here, but we're taking you on a journey. And we see this in Jesus' life. Do you remember one day, there was a woman that was caught in adultery, and they bring her before Jesus and they're all ready to stone her because she was caught in adultery. And then they say, Jesus, what do you think about this woman? And Jesus made that powerful statement, you who have not sinned, you throw the first rock. Come on, you throw it. And the Bible says everybody dispersed. And then Jesus said to the woman, woman, where are your accusers? And then he said to her, woman, I don't condemn you. And we actually read what he said in verses 10 to 11 in John chapter 8. It says, Jesus straightened up and he asked her, he said, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Now have a look at what he says next. Now go and leave your life of sin. So watch this. Here's Jesus. This is Jesus, the way Jesus does ministry. He says, woman, I don't condemn you. That's grace. But in the very next breath, he says, but woman, go and sin no more. That's truth. But what came first? Grace. Friends, grace must always come first. That's why it's Good Friday and then Easter Sunday. Look at the order that it's in. Love and forgiveness, Friday. Power and victory, Sunday. Grace and truth. And that's the type of person God wants us to be. That's the type of church God wants us to have. That's the culture that we are to have. At Lifehouse, we put it this way. We don't condemn, but we also do not condone. Okay? In other words, we don't condemn you for what you've got going on in your life, but we're not going to say, it's okay. Oh, you poor thing. We understand. Stay where you are. No, no. If your marriage is not where it should be, we don't condemn you. We don't judge you. But we're not going to say it's okay to have a bad marriage. No. In Jesus' name, we need you to have a fantastic marriage, full of power, full of love, full of passion. We want to take you on a journey. And so does God, of course. So come on, friends. This Easter, we're going to remember Jesus came to bring grace and to bring truth. Do you remember when the man was lowered down and Jesus said, friend, your sins are forgiven. Hang on, Jesus, he had a leg problem. Why are you saying that? Because Jesus knows that when you are guilty with sin, it cripples you. It cripples your walk with God. It cripples your walk with people. It cripples you. So Jesus said to him, friend, your sins are forgiven. And the man could then get up and walk. But as he was about to walk off, Jesus says, hey, get up, but take up your mat and walk. In other words, hey, that's what you used to lie on. Now pick that thing up and go and tell people, this is who I used to be. I used to have to lie on this thing, but now I don't because now I've got legs. You know, Jesus wants to take your testimony, okay, and he wants to make something great out of it. Don't be embarrassed of what you needed God's grace for. No, that's going to be the very thing that empowers other people. Don't be embarrassed of your past. Not that you want to bring out a big flag and tell people this is what I used to do, but what I'm saying is, if God has healed you of something, don't be embarrassed of that. Don't pretend that you're all perfect now and you never had any problems before. No, Jesus would say, get up and walk, but take up your mat and walk as well. Remember, friends, it's not grace or truth. It's grace and truth. And you know, we see this playing out just in family life. Grace and truth is such an important thing to have in your life. Do you know, when I look at most couples, there's always a grace and truth person. One person is a little bit more grace. The other person is a little bit more truth. Everyone that's watching me right now, come on, you be honest. If you're a couple right now, one of you is more grace and the other one, you're more truth. And you know, you need that in every relationship. Let me show you how this works. So let's say you've got a child in your home. Helen and I, we've had three kids and we love them all. But let's say your child's got a dirty room, okay? So their room's not clean. And okay, how does that work? When you're a grace and truth couple, let me show you. You know, grace says to the dirty room, you know what? They're studying. It takes a long time to clean a room, but right now they've got to study for school. And you know what? I'm sure they will clean their room at some stage. And you know, The rats have to have something to eat. You know what I mean? Like, give the rats something. And you know what? No one can see that room anyway. We'll just close the door. And you know what? They, at the end of the day, they are a great child. That's what grace says to that child. Amen? And all the young people in the room are like, yee-haw, thank you, Pastor Richard. But you know what truth says to that dirty room? The truth is, it's proven that when you have a tidy room, it actually improves your creativity. That's what truth says. It actually helps you to concentrate on the work that is ahead of you. You save time because you find everything much, much quicker. You smell nicer, and you won't hurt your feet by stepping on a hard drive or something in your room, right? So you know what? Grace says, look, we still love you. But truth says, hey, but you can do life better. This Easter, why don't you let grace and truth impact every area of your life? If you run a business, make sure you've got grace, but make sure you've got some truth. If you're in a relationship, make sure there's lots of grace, but lots of truth. If you're running a family, if you're a mum or a dad, make sure there's grace, make sure there's truth. But hey, listen, in church life, we need to be a grace and truth church. Amen. You know, in some churches, friends, you know what? You have to behave before you even believe so that you can belong. Did you get that? In some churches, we call those churches, they're truth churches, okay? You've got to be perfect before you even believe in God, and then you can belong to us. Do you know what a grace church says? No, no, no. You can belong before you even believe, but then we hope you believe, and then we believe that once you believe, you have the behavior. Amen? So what's the balance of that? We want you to belong, but we also believe that there is a way that God wants you to live that's going to bring him victory, that people are going to look at you and say, wow, I want to be more like you. So come on, friends, this Easter, let's let the full work of God happen in our life. You know, I'm sure many of you have had the flu before. Of course, the coronavirus is here at the moment. And, you know, if you have an infection in your body, you go to the doctor, they will give you antibiotics, okay? And the doctor will tell you, you need to take the full amount of antibiotics. You need to use the whole packet so that you get rid of the problem. If you only take 2 or 3 tablets, it will not do its job. And if you want to overcome the virus, then you need to take all the antibiotics or the infection, okay? Do you know it's the same in Christianity? If you want a life of victory, then you need to let grace do its job in your life. And the Bible makes it very clear. It says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says, Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sins? Did you see that part? God's kindness is what turns you from your sin. It's when you understand grace that you just want to live for God. But if you feel like God's angry at you, then you never get to that place. So come on, friend, maybe you've never really asked Jesus to forgive you. Today's your day. And I pray right now that you would just pray a very short prayer. Simply goes like this. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Please forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross. I receive your salvation. Friend, if you will pray that prayer, Jesus will come in. He'll forgive you. He'll love you. He'll do all those beautiful things. And then his power will start to work in you to take you on an incredible journey. Amen. So this Easter, do you know what we're going to remember? Do you know when Jesus hung on the cross, his hands were stretched in both directions, full grace and full truth. You'll notice Jesus didn't die on a cross like that or like that. His hands were both extended. And do you know what he's saying to us? This Easter, receive my full grace. And this Easter, receive my full truth. Amen. I pray that this has been an encouragement to you guys. I love you. We love you so much. God bless you.
Dziękujemy, że byłeś z nami. Mamy nadzieję, że zostałeś zainspirowany. Więcej podcastów możesz posłuchać na naszej stronie echokościół.pl.